much about.
Now, for the fifth and final time, do you understand what I just explained to you?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air. Here on We Love Radio, 108 FM. The last on your dial, but first in your hearts. And that's the truth. Here I am. Am I here? You know it, you know. This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy doing the nasty to your ears to the nasty. Eyes only play the platters that matter, the matters they platter. And that's the truth.
And now,
Selena, over here. Selena, God damn it.
Our feature presentation.
Two giants of broadcasting right there back to back in the open of this morning's radio program.
Love it.
Welcome in, kids. It is Tuesday. It is the 16th of September. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you being?
99 days till Christmas.
Stop it.
99 days.
I don't want to hear that.
It's almost there. You feel that that chill in the air when you step outside.
No, I really. Last night, I went out around 8 o'clock, and I thought, holy crap, I'm actually overdressed for this. For this weather right now, it's so hot.
Did you say it was 80 when you got up
this morning? It was 80. Probably it was still 90 last night.
In the middle of the night, practically.
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees.
Yeah.
It's stupid bizarre. Al Gore.
It's totally his fault.
Right? Who's
with
me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, there's another crisis beyond the fact that it's going to be 150 degrees in California today. And this one is to our neighbors to the south. Venezuela is in the news. Apparently, and I don't fully understand the connection here, but apparently there's some currency controls in effect that businesses now are not allowed to use as much cash to import foreign goods as before. Again, it's one of those complicated trade agreements that is above my pay grade.
Okay.
But the impact on the street is important because apparently they now have a shortage of breast implants in the country of Venezuela. And they are losing their S down there. I mean, there are protests in the street. Beauty-obsessed Venezuelans, according to the Huffington Post, face a scarcity of brand-name breast implants, and women are so desperate that they and their doctors are turning to devices that are the wrong size or are made in China with less rigorous quality standards. So down there, they do the right thing. They try to get the FDA-approved United States breast implants because they're the safest in the world. But if they can't get those, you know, they're basically getting black market boob jobs.
Why? How can you be that desperate? Can't you just wait a little while?
Venezuela is thought to have one of the world's highest plastic surgery rates, and the breast implant is the seminal procedure. Doctors performed 85,000 implants in the country last year. Only the U.S., Brazil, Mexico, and Germany, all with much larger populations, saw more. It says here that there are no official statistics on how many Venezuelans are walking around with enhanced busts, but stroll down any Caracas street reveals that the augmentations are at least more conspicuous than in any surgery-loving places. Until recently, women could enter raffles for implants held by pharmacies, workplaces. Can you imagine if we had a raffle at K-Rock to give away boob implants?
No.
And even politicians on the campaign trail. How's that for a campaign promise?
The pressure to have boobs in Venezuela is brutal.
It's a culture of I want to be more beautiful than you. That's why even people who live in the slums get implants, said surgeon Daniel Slobodianic. He used to perform several breast implants each week. Now he performs closer to two a month. Every day, women call his office asking if the implant size they're looking for is in. When they can't find it, they often choose a second best option, almost always a size up. Well, at least there's some silver lining.
See,
there.
I don't know why men are complaining.
I think they're complaining because of the ones who can't get them.
Yeah.
I thought this was fascinating, by the way. Apparently, it is a custom in Venezuela among many people to give your daughter breast implants on her 15th birthday.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Now, that seems dangerous. Isn't there still some growing to be done after 15?
There certainly can be. Everybody's different. But the other thing is you have to get those taken out and replaced like every 10 years or so.
Right. That's a lot of surgery you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah, for your whole life.
On social media, some Venezuelans take a judgmental tone, saying the panic over implants shows the real shortage here is values. By the way, I don't like those people at all that are saying that. Other joke that the scarcity will force Venezuelan women to start developing their personalities.
No, we can't have that.
We can't have that at all. Anyway, so there's a black market going on for implants, and people are just, they're marching in the streets. I've made so many sacrifices. How can you not help me? They're calling their doctors. They're camping out. They're doing everything. I don't know.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
I'm very upset for the ladies of Venezuela. I wish there was something we could do. I wish we had a doctor listening who would help us start an import-export business.
You could start just sending them boobs.
Just sending them there. Start calling around, finding out who needs them. But isn't that hilarious? Can you? I mean, this just shows how different countries are around the world. Can you imagine people marching in the streets to get breast implants?
Well, I had no idea that that was the culture there. I thought you were going to tell me that a lot of people all over South America go there to get their surgeries.
No.
Not that it's all just local.
Exactly.
That's insane.
All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on that very troubling, very disturbing news, because that will not stand. I don't want to live in a hemisphere where any woman who wants larger boobs doesn't get them. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Amin show, shall we?
Hit it. Steve.
All right. We'll do that. Thanks for that tweet, Bean. The vacation edition apparently lined up. I can't imagine what they're going to be able to find to make fun of after my outstanding trip to Alabama.
You can't imagine, and we can't wait.
We'll also talk to the beautiful actress Hannah Simone on the program today. She plays Cece on The New Girl, Don't You Know? That's back on Fox, as is their whole Tuesday night lineup. Ike Barinholtz, who's hilarious, by the way. He plays Morgan on The Mindy Project. He was also one of the stars of Neighbors. He's from Eastbound and Down. He's on a lot of great stuff. Ike's on the program today. We talked about a story yesterday about a writer for Orange is the New Black, mm-hmm. who was an adult, married to a man, and in the course of writing that show, realized that she was gay. And I thought, how? I mean, I know there's a discovery process for all young people as they become in touch with their sexuality, but how often does that happen when you're a grown-ass adult married to one sex and you decide, essentially out of the blue, that you really want to be with the other sex? And I think those are fascinating stories, and I think we're going to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, who has experienced that today.
Yeah.
Also, what's up with Florida on the show today, and we'll continue to hook you up with more tickets to go see Coldplay. That is going to be tonight. We've got them for you starting at 9 o'clock this morning. That's all on the way, plus Ralph with the Showbiz Beat next year on K-Rock.
Baby, baby! Yeah! 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 Ain't nothing but limousine, baby! Or if it's the bus, or baby! Got a whole city going crazy! Cause the Eagles are the best! The Eagles number one! The Vols are the best, baby, baby! You heard me! Eagles all the way! E-A-G-L-E-S!
Ralph, you sound kind of excited today.
How did you get my
recording of you in the living room
last night? Watching the game, man, it's ridiculous.
They kept you tuned in to the last minute, didn't they?
Nah, knew it the whole time.
Really, that was the plan?
Listen, the NFL, the commissioner has come to them and said, please just play one half of each game.
Right,
because
exactly.
it would be no interest in watching the games if you played the whole game. Just show up around halftime.
It is going to – someone will have a – there's someone in the Eagle Nation who will have a heart attack if this new comeback strategy is all the Eagles plan on doing this year.
Yeah, and you're looking at him.
Yeah.
And you're the guy, right?
Oh, what a nightmare. Two in a row like that, but
– hey, there aren't many 2-0 teams in the NFL this year already. I mean, a lot of the greats have already fallen.
Only
so
seven.
Your team's a rarity at this point.
Yep.
So,
Take the W.
Congratulations. Tuesday morning now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here, of course. Type of the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Has gone through her tough breakup with – John Mellencamp. She has been leaning on Tom Hanks to help get over her man and get some life advice. And friends of both of them say Tom is a great friend, having a time of need. He really is. He's smart and he's kind and he's just a great shoulder to cry on.
Aww.
I want Tom Hanks to be my friend.
Seriously.
So I can complain about my life and go, it's okay.
I think he would make anybody feel better.
I think so too. Linda Lohan! She's in trouble with the L.A. coroner's office. Here talking lately about talking all this smack about how awful it was for her to do her probation at the L.A. coroner's office. And it was all horrific, and she was forced to have to take the body bag off of Whitney Houston.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So they're not happy about her saying that. First of all, the coroner says no one from the probation program came in contact with Whitney Houston. She was taken out in plastic. And by the way, I believe Lindsay was not working there at the time Whitney Houston died. So.
What's wrong with her?
She's just a mess on every level.
God.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
She's such a big liar.
Matt Damon in talks with Universal Studios about reprising his role as Jason Bourne in another Bourne film. How about that?
Well, now, they've sort of already passed the torch in that franchise, haven't they? But I guess they did make it clear that there's more than one Bourne.
Yes, to all those things. Now, of course, the people who are putting together the Jeremy Renner next Bourne film aren't too happy about this. But Universal, I can't blame them for investigating the possibility of getting Matt Damon and director Paul Greengrass back together again to do another Bourne film.
Sure.
They have pretty much dismissed filming another movie together after the Bourne Supremacy and the Bourne Ultimatum, but apparently Damon and Paul have had conversations about it, and they think they have an idea for another one. So
interesting.
I'd watch.
I would, too, and I'd watch if Jeremy Renner made another one, I'd watch that, too.
Yeah.
They're all good.
And speaking of secret agents on film, the original, the OG, the granddaddy of them all, James Bond, is getting back to work. Daily Variety reports the 24th Bond movie will start filming on December the 6th at Pinewood Studios.
Let's have it.
Well, you're going to have to wait a bit, Kevin, because the film will not be out until November the 6th of 2015. So we'll have to wait another year before we see Bond back in action. But Daniel Craig does reprise his role as 007. Ralph Fiennes, of course, as the new M. Naomi Harris as Moneypenny. Rory Kinnear as Bill Tanner. And Ben Whishaw as Q will all be back as well. So, very exciting times.
It is insane how popular that franchise remains well into the 21st century now.
50 years of Bond.
Yep.
Pretty impressive. And everyone connected with Apple wants to say, you're welcome for the U2 album, Songs of Innocence, whether you wanted it or not. You need to know that U2 did not work for free. By the way, Apple paid big money for the giveaway, or as Bono put it in an open letter on U2.com. Apple bought it as a gift to give all their music customers. Here's what I did not know, is that U2 has another complete album ready for release before the end of the year.
What?
Wow.
That one you will have to pay for. Some people have been giving iffy reviews to Songs of Innocence, and rumor has it that they've saved all their really good stuff for the next album that they will sell and you'll have to buy.
Who brings out an album as a promotional tool for a new album?
I have no idea.
That's bizarre.
That is, and again, this is a rumor, so it may not be the case, but that's what they're saying.
Now, that one, is Bono just going to show up door-to-door and just force it through your mail slot?
Right. Listen to it! He'll sit you down with a gun to your head. Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, a lot of people were born today, December the 16th. Like guitarist B.B. King, he's still rocking at 89 years old today. Actor Mickey Rourke is 62. David Copperfield, the magician, he's 58 years old. And he's hot! He's hot!
He's the tornado of fire.
He's hot!
Yes, he is.
He's hot! He's hot!
Are you going to keep doing that until I play the entire clip?
Yes.
Now, this is no illusion, no trick. David Copperfield will attempt the greatest physical challenge of his life, surviving inside a blazing 2,000-degree tornado of fire without getting burned alive.
We're going now.
The time has come. This is real fire.
There you go. It's hot. I told you. Jennifer Tilly is 56 years old today. Actress Molly Shannon is 50. Mark Anthony, singer, 46 years old. Amy Poehler is 43. Alexis Bledel, very lovely and talented actress, is 33 years old today. Nick Jonas turns 22.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
And Richard Marx, singer-songwriter, is 51 years old today. To celebrate, I will be singing his entire catalog this show.
Ooh, I'm
let's
sorry.
Kick off
just,
with
just out of time.
Right here waiting for you. How about that?
It's already 6 o'clock.
Wherever you go, whatever you do,
I don't think we really have.
I will be right here waiting for you.
I think we got the gist of that. Thank
wherever
you, Ralph.
Wherever you go, wherever you do, I will be right here waiting for you.
Zero for effort.
What?
Zero for style.
Come on, Simon.
Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Don't mean nothing. Coming up next hour, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The hilarious Ike Barinholtz joins us next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the return of his show, The Mindy Project, and Hannah Simone from The New Girl on the way as well. Hey, Ralph Garman, I saw a thread on the internet the other day about people weighing in with the worst radio commercial of all time.
Yes.
And the consensus seems to be...
Cat's Mom?
Is that
no,
1-877 Cars for Kids is the worst ad. Have you heard that one?
God, yes.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
K-R-A-S Cars for Kids. Oh, that's horrible.
It's a horrible, stupid little kid who can't sing. And the part of what makes it so bad, besides the fact that it's an annoying little kid singing a terrible song, is they seem to have bought out every radio station across America every day of every year. You cannot avoid this commercial.
That's true.
It's horrible.
Then it's Cat's Mom. Right.
But I guess it works, because if I were donating a car, that's the only organization that comes to immediate mind as somebody who accepts cars for charity, is Cars for Kids. So I guess the ad works.
Yeah, but I don't even know what that charity is, by the way. I don't know what they're doing for kids or two kids or what they're doing after I give them my car. I have no idea. I just know there's cars and kids, or put them together somehow. They could have kids working on cars in a warehouse someplace. I have no idea.
It's very possible. I don't know either.
It's very mysterious.
Strangely, though, Cat's Mom is not on the list. Now,
what?
Maybe it's just because this is an ad that's only heard on K-Rock. But the one that Ralph is referring to, and we have gotten quite a bit of feedback from the Kevin and Bean listeners as they have heard this ad, is let's play a little bit of this. Now, this is our own beautiful cat who comes on after the Kevin and Bean show at 10,
yes,
talking to her real-life mom about her new Mercedes-Benz.
Hey, Mom.
It's so hot here.
How hot is it?
It's so hot, your mother is melting.
That is not attractive. You know, if you lived in L.A., I could pick you up in my Mercedes-Benz CLA.
So there they go. They go on and they talk about the Mercedes-Benz. Now, I understand.
First Cat has a long, long history of using horrible people in her commercials.
She certainly does.
Like beer mug.
Hey! Before Mom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, last week, did you somehow get into it with Cat's Mom, or what happened, Ralph?
Well, I've been talking for a while about the commercial and how Cat's Mom's voice is the audio equivalent of a rectal probe. it's hideous. Nothing. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. She seems to have done a fine job raising Cat, but her voice is just not for human consumption on any level, and should never be broadcast. That's what I'm, it's just no. It's a piercing, hideous, horribly awful, shrill series of sounds that no one needs to hear. Yeah, see, no one needs to hear that. It's just it's brutal.
You know what it reminds me of is Throw Mama from the Train. It reminds
yes.
me of that lady.
Owen! Owen, where you been, Owen? Come on, listen to that. It's hideous.
Now, did Cat rat you out to her dear sweet mom, though?
Yes.
And now you guys are mortal enemies?
So apparently Cat sent the break, the audio of that break, while I was talking about how hideous her mom's voice is, to her mom.
Oh, no.
And now her mom hates me. Now I'm her mom's mortal enemy because I mocked her mom's voice. Which is not my fault, by that voice is not my fault. And anyone would say the same thing. I just had the courage to say it out loud.
That is, that's sad, though, that you hurt an old lady's feelings.
Well, look, someone had to tell her. Do you think she doesn't know her voice is horrible? Come on.
Yeah, true.
Gosh.
Sounds like a love connection to me.
That's hideous. Should we talk to her? You want to get her on the phone?
Do we have her? Can we?
That's
Are
what
you
I
kidding me?
I
we can talk to Cat's mom?
I understand she was calling in. That's what I understand.
Oh, my God. Really? This is fantastic. Hello?
Hello! How's everybody there in Los Angeles?
Well, we're doing fine. I can't believe you're coming on. Ralph is here, you know.
I don't like that Ralph. He doesn't say nice things about me.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cat. I apologize.
You weren't trying to hurt anybody's feelings, right,
no,
Ralph?
No, not at all. I just your daughter is using your voice in commercials, and your voice is an acquired taste.
What if I come out there to Los Angeles and kick your ass?
Well, I wouldn't like that. That would be horrible if you would do that. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to get a physical altercation. I'm sure you're a lovely lady.
And I'm sure you're an asshole.
No.
Wow, that's quite unnecessary, Mrs. Cat.
She's a delight in person, as in addition to in her commercials, it sounds
you
like.
You shut up, too, you big freaking giant.
Wow.
I don't like you either. I'll fly out there to Los Angeles and kick both your asses.
How about the girl? What do you think of the girl?
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about the girl.
Well, it's Lisa May. She does traffic for us.
Yeah.
Traffic? That's where my cat tried to drive a car.
Yes, she tried.
In traffic.
That's true, yeah.
Very painful to listen to you. It really is.
That car seems like it does everything.
She likes it very
fly?
Much.
Oh, it's so hot out there in Los Angeles. You must be melting.
This is Wicked Witch of the West territory now.
Oh, sweet God, make it stop.
It hurts so much. Some of our favorite bands coming up this half hour, including Bastille, Blink-182. Ralph will be back with the Showbiz Beat in just a few minutes, too. But first, I got a question for you guys. What is up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what.
Lisa, as you know, I was in the great state of Alabama on vacation last week.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but when I made the decision, I planned out my route around the whole state to see as much as I could. And I'm leaving Dothan, which is the peanut capital of the world, and I want to drive to Mobile, Alabama. So
yes,
you think straight shot right across the bottom of the state of Alabama? No. In fact, you go down into Florida, and most of your journey is in Florida making that trip.
Oh, that's strange.
And I got so nervous and sweaty and felt like I was on meth just from being in Florida.
Sure.
It was very disorienting and very scary. I was afraid that terrible things were going to happen to me while I was down in the Sunshine State because so much weird and bad news comes out of that state that I was afraid to be in it just for a few hours. So let's see what's on the police blotter this week from Florida. Hell apparently hath no fury like a scorned and drunken babysitter. Police in Fort Pierce, Florida say they have arrested a 22-year-old woman who stabbed the man she babysits for. Why? Because he refused to have sex with her.
Oh, my God. That's his babysitter?
Yes, that's the woman that he entrusts to look after his children. And she's a very attractive woman. You should see her mugshot. Her name is Shakira Anquinette Shan Long. She now faces felony battery charges after becoming enraged that Eugene Sylvester shunned her screaming advances, according to a police report. After both were drinking at a neighborhood barbecue, Long followed Sylvester home, screaming that she wanted the victim to have sex with her. He refused, making her even more angry. When he went into his bedroom and closed the door, the babysitter stormed in armed with a knife and began jabbing at his throat.
Oh, my God.
A witness grabbed a towel and helped Sylvester leave the home. While the two were walking down the street, Long chased after them and began punching Sylvester in the face. He received stitches in his neck at a nearby hospital, but he told police he did not want to press charges against Long, who babysits his children, because she was intoxicated. So they're just going to look past this little incident, and he still needs her Tuesday night so he can go bowling.
Oh, she's a good babysitter.
Is that incredible?
Oh, my God.
A Florida mother is accused of hanging up on a phone call with police about her missing daughter because she had to go on stage at a strip club. Her name is Bobby Jo Boucher, 29 years old. She left her 10-year-old daughter at a barbecue on Wednesday afternoon before going to work. When the girl did not return home, the grandmother called the police and said, "Hey, the kid is missing." The police then called the mom to say, "Hey, the kid is missing." She told officers, "I have to get on stage now," and hung up on them, according to a police report. The girl was eventually found unharmed 9 p.m. Wednesday night. The mom then was arrested and has been charged with misdemeanor obstruction, which I've never heard of somebody getting arrested for hanging up on the police.
Well, they are looking for her daughter.
Yeah.
You know, actively.
It's crazy that that's what was in this mom's mind is, yeah, whatever with my kid being missing all day.
I got tips out there.
I got to go on stage and get some dollar bills. We go to West Palm Beach, Florida now. A man is behind bars after a bizarre naked rampage through his neighborhood that included breaking into an occupied home as well as punching a deputy's canine. Oh, well, I don't like any of the story where a dog gets hit. He's been held in hospital since Labor Day. He was just denied bond by a judge in his first appearance Monday morning. Investigators said that this was an apparent case of excited delirium. They're unclear as to what drugs the man was on, but what he did was shattered his neighbor's front window with a brick while the kids were inside watching TV in the front living room. Then he crawled inside the home and started smashing things left and right. The father came down, locked the family in the bedroom, told the man to leave at gunpoint. Well, the rampage didn't start there. Witnesses said that the man was bleeding heavily, took off all of his clothes in the street, then sprayed himself with a neighbor's garden hose, tried to jump into someone's pool, moaning and mumbling incoherently that there was something on him.
Oh.
When deputies arrived, they deployed a canine, and Alvarez, the suspect in question, allegedly punched the dog and grabbed its mouth. He was eventually subdued and taken to the hospital, facing a slew of charges, including burglary with battery, which carries a potential life sentence. That sounds like meth, right?
Meth or bath salts. Something
bath salts.
Crazy.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he definitely, if he feels like he's got something on him, he's taking all his clothes off and he's just smashing through windows.
Oh, man.
Crazy. Let's see what else is going on in Florida. Here's two high school students arrested Saturday night for breaking into a Florida home. They told police they were not there to steal anything. They only broke in because they planned to have sex in the owner's bedroom.
Yes.
By the way, when you're a teenager, they're both 18 in this story. When you're a teenager, you're just looking for any place, right?
Well, you want to show the lady a good time. It's someplace nice.
Police were summoned to the Bradenton residence after a neighbor spotted the duo entering the home. The owner was out of town in Michigan at the time. They came in through an unlocked door, by the way. A sheriff showed up with his gun drawn, announced his presence in the residence, and from behind the closed bedroom door, a male offender replied, "Okay, we're coming right out." Allison Riddle, Evan Jones, both 18, emerged from the bedroom with their heads up. They were then detained, sat on the couch in the living room, where they both admitted they were not there to steal anything. They were just there to have sex. Police examined the residence, showed nothing out of place or missing, although a few things had been disturbed, it says, inside the bedroom. So I wonder what the charges are. Just trespassing? It's something like that? I mean, they didn't try to steal anything.
And dirtying up a bedspread?
I'm not sure if that's a charge in Florida. And finally, I only do this story because this is possibly the most Florida name I have ever seen in all the time we've been doing this story. Here's a woman who was arrested for fraudulent credit card use.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a store called the Groundswell Surf Shop. And she tried to buy two Ray-Ban sunglasses worth $500 and a $100 GoPro camera. She had a credit card, but she asked the clerk to punch in the credit card number instead of swiping it. That made the clerk become suspicious. She declined the sale, called on the card, and found out that it had, in fact, been stolen. She called the police. They showed up and arrested the woman who was trying to perpetrate the fraud. Her name is Cherries Waffles Tennis.
No.
Again, her actual legal name via this report in the Palm Beach Post is Cherries Waffles Tennis.
Yay!
And that, ladies. Yes.
I'm sorry. If you saw that on a credit card, you would just decline it anyway, wouldn't
you?
Yeah.
You would just think it was totally a made-up name. Exactly. But Cherries Waffles Tennis, ladies and gentlemen, that is just one of the many reasons why we like to ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
I heard a guy do that song better, by the way, than the Steel's doing it right there.
Yeah, we did.
The hilarious Ike Barinholtz joins us coming up next, right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He, of course, from the Mindy Project and the movie Neighbors and Eastbound and Down. Very funny guy. Looking forward to that. Hannah Simone from The New Girl later on. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it?
I'm surprised by this reaction. Rihanna. You're familiar with Rihanna.
Of course.
She's very upset with CBS because of football. Last week, CBS was going to show its Thursday night football game, and Rihanna was going to perform in a taped musical segment at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Now, the game was between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, who had just released Ray Rice from his contract for physical abuse against his, at the time, fiance.
Yes.
Now, Rihanna famously was a victim of violence herself at the hands of her then-boyfriend, Chris Brown.
Uh-huh.
And so, in what CBS thought was an act of sensitivity, they decided to pull her musical opening from that particular game and move it to this Thursday's game.
Okay.
Does that sound like a reasonable response all the way around?
I guess, although it was a long time ago.
I also,
at least, I don't think many people have forgotten. When they think Rihanna,
they think that terrible picture. Yeah,
terrible picture. Exactly.
I understand what CBS was trying to do at the time when they made the announcement that they were pulling it. I thought, why take it out on Rihanna? Who? Why take away an opportunity for her to have a high profile stage and promote herself and her music because of something that wasn't her fault? I mean, I did feel it was a little bit unfair to Rihanna, although I understood what their intentions were. Good.
They didn't cancel it. They didn't throw it in the trash can. They just moved.
They just didn't want it that week when it was red hot, and it was the Ravens.
It was the Ravens. They had to move because it was the Ravens.
I think that's understandable. Then
no, it isn't. Not to Rihanna. To Twitter this week, blasting CBS, writing, "CBS, you pulled my song last week. Now you want to slide it back this Thursday? No, f you.
Really?
Y'all are sad for penalizing me for this.
Does she get to say no when she's done it?
I guess.
Are they not going to do it at all?
It would look bad now if she came out publicly and said, don't play my song, and then they did.
Yeah. She also followed up with another tweet. The audacity! Sounds like a bean tweet.
who taught her that word?
I don't know, but she must like it.
It's not good for New York.
Yeah.
It's not good for America. Sorry. And it's not good for the entire world. Mm. And so, CBS, shame on you.
Sorry, CBS.
Shame on you, CBS.
Sorry.
So what do you think should have happened here, Ralph? You think she should have understood where they were coming from last week and just graciously accepted being on the schedule this week?
Yes. I obviously think the CBS was trying to err on the side of sensitivity for everybody involved. And say, you know, it'd be a little... trust me, had they shown Rihanna at the beginning of a Ravens game in the white-hot heat of the Ray Rice scandal, everybody would have been on their ass and saying, really, CBS? You think it's okay to show Rihanna in a game where the Ravens are playing? And given the situation with Ray Rice, they would have just taken the shorts if they had decided to do it. So I think they were trying to err on the side of sensitivity, but there was probably a lose-lose situation for them.
CBS cares.
That's right. CBS cares. They told me to have my prostate checked.
They did.
Because
they do have a lot of good advice like that.
They do. All right, let's move on to happier things, like the fact that James Bond is back.
Woo.
Daily Variety announces that the 24th James Bond movie starring Daniel Craig will go into production this December the 6th at Pinewood Studios. That's when Sam Mendes, the director, is scheduled to start principal photography on the next Bond movie, which doesn't have a title yet. The movie will be out on November the 6th of 2015. So,
I think we all can agree on the fact that... You.
Oh, Sean Connery's not happy.
He's still not over losing that job, man.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people upset about getting a free U2 album.
It is actually becoming hilarious now.
I don't understand why everyone's so angry at U2 for giving them a nice free album.
They're acting like iTunes erased their music library.
And replaced it with only U2 songs.
Right.
Yeah. People are furious for some reason that U2 has showed up in their iTunes for free as a gift from Apple. Now, keep in mind, Apple did pay U2 for the albums. As Bono wrote in an open letter on U2.com, Apple bought it as a gift to all their music customers, but people are very, very angry. Now comes the rumor that U2 has another complete album ready for release before the end of this year.
That's so weird.
Yeah, you won't get that one for free. You'll have to buy that one. And rumor has it that the band has saved the really good stuff for the next album, not the free one you get from Apple. So we'll have to wait and see.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
See the Osbournes? The Osbournes are going off on you two.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't see that.
Oh, they're going crazy.
Why?
Sharon and Jack are tweeting like, F you, you two, you're a bunch of businessmen posing as musicians. What political cause are you up the ass of this week? And the U2 album is a virus that showed up on my phone. It's like, holy crap.
That's unbelievable.
That's madness.
Look, I think U2 has the credentials that they're an actual band, by the way.
And
they've
got, it's an
album. A history. Right.
It doesn't keep it from playing Candy Crush. It's just music.
Right. Listen to it or not.
Don't listen to it. The hell, people?
I mean, this is really no different than you go to a restaurant and there's a buffet of a bunch of stuff. Some of it you want, some of it you don't. Just don't eat the stuff you don't want.
Or you're sitting at the table at a nice restaurant and they bring you a basket of bread. I didn't order this bread. Get this bread off my table, this stinking bread. You and your butter and your bread and your condiments.
That's not what I'm here for.
Jeez. Today's celebrity birthdays. B.B. King, legendary guitarist. 89 years old today. Actor Mickey Rourke is 62. You know, we all mocked Mickey Rourke when he got that hideous plastic surgery back in his 40s and 50s.
Uh-huh.
Now 62, he looks pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah, well, starting to, you're right.
It's all kind of settled in. It's all kind of settled in and sort of relaxing on his face. He looks pretty good.
He does look like a guy who has spent a lot of time boxing, though, doesn't he?
Yes. And he didn't even spend that much time boxing. He spent a lot of time getting cut.
Right.
With a scalpel. David Copperfield's 58 years old today. He's hot. Megan Tilly is 56. Molly Shannon is 50. Mark Anthony's 46. Amy Poehler celebrates her 43rd birthday. Flo Rida is 35 years old. Alexis Bledel turns 33. Nick Jonas is 22.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
And Richard Marx, legendary singer and songwriter, is 51 years old today. I'd like to continue my tribute to Richard Marx now with a little song called
Sorry We're Out of Town.
Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
No.
The word that they say.
No.
What? All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hit it, Steve.
There it is.
The sweet sounds of the theme song from The Mindy Project back on Fox tonight for a brand new season, season 3, don't you know, at 9:30. Ike Barinholtz, you are a writer and one of the actors on the show. Please welcome Ike to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Finally.
How are you, man?
Good. That's actually me singing the theme song. Too.
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell now.
That's how I do it.
Now, when you say finally,
yes,
this is a lifelong dream to be on the Kevin and Bean Show?
I've been living in Southern California for many years, and you guys are part of the world that we live in.
I don't know why we haven't had you on before, because we love you, and you have the greatest taste in TV shows. I mean,
thank you.
Seriously, I mean, going back to, you know, Drunk History and Family Guy and Married and Kroll.
All those shows.
Like all the shows we watch, Ed Light, Eastbound and Down, Children's Hospital.
I like to get at least one line on all of those shows. And that's like having a lot of lines on one show.
Absolutely.
So that's the way I kind of do it.
I saw you on our friend Jimmy Kimmel's program as well last night.
James Kimmel?
Had you done his show before?
I hadn't, actually.
Wow. So this is a banner showbiz week for you, Ike.
This last 16 hours has been a whirlwind, guys. I'm not going to lie. it was crazy. He's the nicest man, and I was on with Jane Fonda, who I hadn't seen since we broke up in 1986.
It wasn't awkward at all.
Good, right?
She looks amazing. It was very awkward. I don't like Ted Turner because he stole her from me.
She left me for Ted.
But it was good to see her, and I wish her all the best.
You also were on with Mastodon, who essentially rocked her face off, right?
They did, yeah. They were
a hell of a show.
Yeah, I still heard them as I was driving home, and I live like 2 miles away.
Them now in my ears, and I only watched it on TV.
Those guys are beasts, man.
So what? Tell me about this. So you walk into a room and you meet Lisa Mae for the first time, and the first words out of her mouth are what?
You're so skinny.
Now, does that happen all the time that people think you're a fat ass somehow?
I think on the show, my character is larger than life and has a fat body, and I'm a little bit leaner, but it's never like, oh, you look great. It's always like, oh, you're not the monster we thought you were.
You look great.
That's what I want. That's what I was waiting
for.
You
look great.
That's what I was waiting for. I was fishing for that one.
And you're also wearing scrubs, essentially, on Mindy, right?
Yes.
You got the nurse's outfit, which maybe isn't the most flattering look for
it is. No, it's very – it's to deal with people that are built like me and just like, you know, giant women. So but I'm like a giant woman in many ways.
You told a story on Jimmy last night about how – and I guess a lot of actors go through this based on the role that you're doing. You either have to gain or lose weight. And that has got to be – very difficult to keep straight.
It makes your eating a little bipolar. You know what I mean? Like, there's days where I'm like, oh, I'm doing Mindy this week, so I can have a large deep dish pizza by myself during the football game.
There's no shame in that.
No. It's not shameful.
It turns you into a girl who's been dieting since she was 12.
I literally know what a teenage girl feels like now.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's not fun. And I don't feel, for lack of a better word, very manly. You know what I mean? When I say to my wife, like, I'm starving, but we have to do low carb. We have to. I feel like a loser when I say that.
Now, this movie that you talked about that you're filming now called The Nest, this is the one that you had to lose the weight for. This isn't like a Wolverine-type losing weight, though, where you have to just be able to bounce a quarter off your chest, right?
I didn't have to, but I did. No. I had to be like just – we had to believe that in some sphere of the universe – Amy Poehler's character would be sexually attracted to me. And the way I was rolling coming off Mindy last year, I look like – do you remember the actor James Coco?
I remember the name more than I remember the face.
How about Raymond Burr?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I look absolutely like Raymond Burr.
He did not look like Raymond.
And it would not, a beautiful woman like Amy Poehler would not be attracted to Raymond Burr, so I had to tighten up.
Young, hot Perry Mason Raymond Burr, or
no,
older in a wheelchair Ironsides
Raymond Burr? Ironsides, okay. Raymond Burr, yes.
You don't want that.
No.
So working with Amy Poehler and working with Mindy Kaling,
yes.
Talk about the bright lights in Hollywood. I'm serious.
They're
like two forces of nature.
They are. And they're so different, and they're so both so hysterical that you're just constantly, like, you're stuck in neutral a lot, where they're being so funny, and I'm like, oh, they're being a lot funnier than me right now. But, yeah, it just makes for a really, really fun work environment. They're so
Did
funny.
You know Mindy at all before you got cast on her show?
I didn't. She reached out to me on Twitter. Because she was a fan of Eastbound and Down and gave me a nice compliment. And so we're Twitter friends.
Isn't that interesting? So she saw you on TV and said, hey, I think he'd be right for my sitcom that I'm writing.
But more or less, yes. There was a couple steps removed, but she reached out to me on Twitter. And
that's so cool.
It's very cool. That's what I'm trying to do to Taylor Swift now. And I've been contacted by her attorneys and said, if I tweet her one more time, I will go to jail.
By the way, you and I have a lot in common. Apparently, we're both on that list of not allowed to contact Taylor Swift anymore.
Real perverts.
So I'm right there with you. Mindy's in its third season right
yes,
now.
Yes, we start tonight.
It is one of the – 9:30 on Fox. It is one of those shows, like The New Girl, it's also on tonight, where it seemed like you guys gelled from episode one. You know, a lot of sitcoms, it seems like it takes them half a season to kind of ramp up to where they're going. But you guys really hit the ground running. I think it's because you have so many funny people on the show.
That's so great of you to say. You know, I really feel like it comes from the top down. Like Mindy, the first thing she cares about is, like, is it funny? And she took this guy, Chris Messina, who – you've seen, like,
in every TV show and movie ever.
But it's always like he's tortured and he's damaged. He's like, oh, on the show Damages, I was locked in a closet and I was tortured by John Goodman for a year and I was nude.
That's a good impression.
And she took this guy and all kind of made him into this, like, huge comedy TV star. And then she brought me in and Adam Pally and Ed Weeks. So really, it kind of all stems and flows from her. Comedy first.
Do you think there was any point where the network was nervous about basing a sitcom around an Indian American woman?
Maybe.
But she shattered that right out of
the
game. She
did.
Right?
I mean, I feel like she's so singular and has such a distinct voice and such a, like, dedicated fan base that Fox was kind of from the get-go, like, we know what we're getting with her,
yeah.
And we love her, and we love that people love her, so we're all in.
Have you had any awkward moments on the show playing the play? Are you technically a nurse? Is that what you are on the show?
I am a nurse. My character becomes a registered nurse.
Okay.
Finally.
Have there been any awkward moments or conversations dealing with any gynecological or obstetrician terms?
No, our policy is to base none of that in truth. And whenever, like, a medical issue comes up, we just, like, skirt around it because we're all so stupid. But, yeah, no, I hope nurses like it, but if they don't, I understand.
I feel like you're missing a lot of good opportunities to have, you know, Megan Fox and people like that show up as patients, though.
Oh, see, that would be, if this was the Ike Project, that's all it would be. It would just be, like 22 minutes of women taking off robes.
Oh, and look, then again, Rebecca Romijn is in the waiting room. She's up next. What are the chances?
All right, Rebecca, so I'll put on this robe, and I'll leave the room, and I'll come right back.
See, we just took a family-friendly, wholesome comedy.
And we made it disgusting.
We're
gross guys.
Yes.
Come on.
The Mindy Project premieres tonight at 9:30 on Fox Channel 11. Our guest is Ike Barinholtz. More with him in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
Right now at Subway Restaurants, get a great deal on this month's $6 foot-long special, the Italian BMT, or the $3 6-inch select, the Honey Sweet Onion Chicken Teriyaki.
I think Lisa's a little distracted with Ike and Steve.
Yeah, because he's like right there, and it just made me a little
And
nervous.
Lisa, I actually missed it. Can you do that again real quick, please? I'm so sorry.
Because Lisa never screws up, and I think she's like flustered, and she's feeling the blood rush to her head, and she's like, Ike is so pretty.
I've taken my shirt off because it was hot in here, and I think she's experiencing mild nausea.
Get a little flush.
Ike Barinholtz is our guest at the Kevin Bean Show, actor and writer for The Mindy Project, returning to Fox tonight at 9:30. Let's hear a clip of Ike from the show. It's very funny.
Get it.
Right, okay, the thing is, my moral compass has strayed somewhat from True North, and I would love to come with you, but I can't.
What my friend's trying to say is he has crazy diarrhea.
Hi.
Go.
Was it necessary to be diarrhea?
Yeah, diarrhea shuts it down.
It's very
true.
Mark Twain said that, I believe. We stole that from Mark Twain.
how do you describe Morgan? Is this a character that you have like a whole rich backstory for? Are you able to just read what's on the page and not think beyond that?
No, we always try to like weave this giant tapestry of his life. Like I imagine at some point like he had like swagger and was like kind of like a cool criminal type. But then very quickly, like something probably horrible happened to him in prison. and I think that humbled him a lot. And now he's just like trying to do the right thing. But he's like a nice guy. He's a really nice guy,
yeah. But he has no awareness of appropriate behavior at all.
Zero.
He's the guy who always says the wrong thing at the wrong time.
And he meddles. He meddles in people's lives and like he really ruins their lives and stuff. And like, yeah, he's a real stupid idiot.
Ike, how tough was it for you to get into show business?
Everyone has
a different path through, and some it's a lot more of a struggle than others.
Well, my father is Steven Spielberg.
Director
of Schindler's List, and
that is a
Jurassic
name
Park.
that will open some doors in Hollywood.
So he helped me out a lot. No. I had a really tough like couple years when I first moved out here. I was a busboy at Morton's on La Cienega.
No kidding.
Yeah. Pete Rose yelled at me. That was fun. But it was it was very very tough. And then I got very lucky. I got cast on Mad TV when I was very young. I was like 24 maybe, and Mad TV happened to be looking for some dudes, and they hired.
That's a big break.
It was a huge break.
Of people came out of there.
Oh god, yeah, no, it was great, and it was a really fun time to be there. Kind of like the last 5 years of the show, and we had like Key and Peele were on there, and Frank Caliendo, and Michael Parker,
now when you're on a show like Mad TV, and you're looking around to your everybody's kind of in the same spot in their career.
Yes.
Did you have a sense of who was going to make it and who wasn't, and if so, were you right?
No, I mean, it's so tough to tell, and like really what is making it? Like Key and Peele won Peabody Awards last night. You know what I mean? Did I think that was going to happen? No. I thought those guys were idiots. But it was just, you just kind of, everyone was just friends, and everyone still is friends, and everyone sees each other, and people are, some people are married and have kids, and that's like super successful, and they have happy lives, and then you have guys that win Peabody Awards.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that you don't go on to have a happy life if you don't have a career in show business. I'm just saying, sometimes you hear stories of, I could tell that guy was going to be a big Hollywood actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Key and
Peele. No one thought you would make it.
I'm an anomaly. And I still have not made it. Key and Peele, there was something special about them just because they were so funny.
Yeah.
But they're
so versatile, too. That's what's amazing about it. It's unbelievable the different sorts of things that they've done, and they're great at all of it.
Yeah, and that show is just so funny, my God. But those guys we always kind of knew were going to be, like, super big.
How much how important was it for you to grow up in Chicago? It seems like that's something you still drop the word Chicago
I drop the C word a lot. Uh-huh. And
like it's still a big part of you today, right?
It really is. I feel like if you're from, I'm also like from the city. A lot of people you meet from Chicago, they're like, I met a girl one time. She's like, oh my God, I'm from Chicago too. I'm like, you don't sound like. She's like, I'm from Danville. I'm like, you're closer to Nashville than you are to Chicago. But like growing up in the city, there's like a whole ID with it, and you're really close to other Chicagoans. And so,
yeah, South Side or North Side?
I'm a North Sider, man. I grew up like right by Wrigley Field, so I'm a diehard Cubs fan. Oh my God, help me, help me!
Well, that'll make you strong right there.
I mean, it has given me an iron constitution. I was at the Bartman game. Do you understand?
You really?
Yes.
Was the sense that there could have been a murder that day? Did you feel like that dude was seriously injured?
I was worried for him. I was very worried for him. I, for the record, love him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he didn't do anything wrong. I feel like it was Moises Alou's fault for, turning around and yelling at him. And even though Moises Alou last year is like, oh, I would not have made the catch anyways. It's like, well, then why did you yell at this guy and ruin his life, basically?
Is this the story of the guy that reached
out?
Yes,
yes. Okay. He did what 99.9% of fans would do.
And usually it doesn't matter.
Yeah, look, if he was wearing a Marlins jersey, I'd have blood on my hands. I would be in jail right now. But he was a diehard Cub fan. He was doing nothing wrong.
I think it's hard in that moment, and you're right. 99% of people will try to catch a ball if they have the opportunity to baseball game. And I think that's all you're thinking is you're in that excitement of the moment, and you're not paying attention to how many inches between the fence and you.
Absolutely not. And he was one of those guys. He was such a fan. He's one of those guys that listens to the game while he's at the game.
Wow.
One of those guys. That's like a deep, hardcore fandom.
I can't believe that you were there for that.
Yeah, I was there. It took a few years of therapy to kind of get over it, but now I am, and now I brought it up again, and I want to die.
I had tickets for, but did not attend, the San Francisco 1989 Earthquake World Series game.
No.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I sold them to somebody.
God, remember that? Remember we were watching on TV, and all of a sudden, like, just everything started shaking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
A momentous World Series game.
Wow.
Speaking of Chicago.
Yes.
So, what a difference week one was versus week two of the NFL season for you.
I'll tell you, man, after week one, it was kind of like, okay, well, it's over now. The season's over.
When you lose to the Bills, you feel like, why bother showing up?
It's over. Let's just move on. It never happened. The season's a freak. And then Sunday night, I couldn't believe it. I literally said to my wife, I go at the half, I was like, well, we're going to score this touchdown, but then they're going to score it the third quarter.
Yeah, because it's the freaking 49ers.
Come on. In San Francisco, the last time I saw the Bears Niners play live, they lost. The Bears lost 49-0. So it was amazing. And you know what, man? I'm sick of people ripping on Jay Cutler. Yes, he has some double chins. And yes, he's fairly apathetic. But he got hit by a 285-pound lineman in the chest. And then the next play threw a touchdown.
Didn't he marry that chick from the Hills, though? I think
yes,
that's
he did.
Part of it, right?
Yes, he did. And that's not a great thing either. But let me tell you something. But if I got hit by that lineman, they would have had to have a helicopter land on the field and carry me out. Everyone would be kneeling and praying for me.
So you wake up on Monday morning and it's like a whole new season.
Oh my God.
You're like it's 85 all over again. We're going all the way.
Well, let's not get crazy.
You can't be stopped.
It was exciting. I mean, we lost Peanut Tillman for the year, which sucks.
Yeah,
but this guy Fuller looks like he is a legit little superstar secondary player. I'm really
Did you ever adopt any Southern California teams with all the years you've lived here?
Here's the thing.
Or is it all still Chicago?
No, here's the thing. I will always pick Chicago first, but I love when the teams that are in the city that I live in do well. Like when the Lakers were having their streak, I was happy. It makes people happy. Like, look, after the Kings beat the Blackhawks last year, I drank a bottle of whiskey because I was so depressed. But then I was happy that, you know, the Kings were, you know, doing well. It makes me happy when teams in cities I live in do well.
Yeah,
so
these last 3 years, the rivalry between L.A. and Chicago in hockey, though, has been...
You guys are so much bigger than us, like physically. Like we're faster, like fast little guys, but you guys are giant, huge, burling men, and you're just constantly beating our guys up. Stop it. Stop doing it.
All right. Ike has spoken, Kings. Stop it.
Yeah, enough. Enough.
All right, we're out of time. I can't believe how fast this flew by. What else you want us to know about Mindy either tonight or this season?
Just watch it. It's so funny. It's like the thing people keep telling me is like at first it was always young girls. They'd be like, oh, my God, I love that show. But now it's like dudes at airports that are like, yo, man, that show with the Indian girl is funny. It's funny, bro. And I'm like, oh, thank you, bro. And so, yeah, watch it. It's a very, very funny show.
I agree. It is. And to me, it's kind of now that 30 Rock's not on anymore, this is the show for me that has the most jokes per minute.
Oh, my God.
That's what I like about it.
JPMs?
JPM, right? I don't like to use the Hollywood terminology.
It is, though. It really is.
We leave people behind here, right? Yeah, the JPM.
This episode tonight, I think, has six JPM.
All right. Tonight at 9:30 on the Fox Network, ladies and gentlemen, Ike Barinholtz.
Thank you.
Come back anytime, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Listening to world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, teaming up with Beats Music to present a special evening with the band Coldplay. They're going to be in the theater at the Ace Hotel. You can win your tickets starting again at 9 o'clock this morning all the way up until 6 p.m. By the way, that show is going to be aired for you tomorrow night live here on K-Rock at 8:30. What are you complaining about now, Ralph Garman?
I just hate everything that you tweet all the time.
That's right.
Tweet.
Why is this a factor for you? You blocked me. You don't follow me. You don't need to know about it. You don't need to hear about it. How does it affect you
because
in any way?
People keep forwarding them to me.
Why?
Because they're awful.
You won't believe how awful this one is. And then they send that to me. So I get it. It's like a nuclear blast, and then that's the fallout that just lands all over me.
But haven't you made it clear to people that you're not interested in what I tweet? So why can't they leave you out of it? Why
sometimes,
can't it just be between me and the people who follow me because they like what I tweet?
Because sometimes there are such atrocities going on in the world that you cannot turn a blind eye to them. You must answer the call.
Why is it every time you talk about me in terms of I'm Hitler in Poland in 1939 and something needs to be stopped?
That's a question you need to ask yourself, not me. And this latest spate of tweets, this vacation you took,
We should change the name of the segment to Thanks for That Creepy Selfie Beam. Every creepy selfie picture that you've tweeted on this vacation looks like you're tracking a serial killer.
Look,
were you by yourself? Were you alone on this vacation?
Yes, I was by myself on this vacation.
Aren't you still married to someone?
Do you think my wife wanted to go to Alabama on vacation?
Well, no one does. But wouldn't you want to spend some time with your wife while you're on vacation?
Look, you guys tell me what the policy is here. I thought if I go to locations that are interesting, that are tourist attractions in the great state of Alabama, that the people who follow me on Twitter might enjoy seeing a picture of me standing out in front of that place.
No! Especially not the ones you did. Like, for example... Remembering yesterday when I was 6 feet away from the great Hank Williams... And that's a picture of you lying on top of Hank Williams' grave.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean!
Now, a lot of people like me are huge, huge Hank Williams fans. And many have never been to his grave in Montgomery, Alabama. I thought folks might want to see that.
But it's just a slab of stone with his name carved in it with your creepy face on it.
Well... I took a picture of me at the grave. I thought that was something
maybe,
that people...
Maybe they're interested in the grave. You take a picture of that. Why do you have to put your giant creepy face on top of it?
So the problem is I shouldn't be in any of these pictures. They should just be static shots, just like something that somebody could get off of any website anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Or this one. Now at Helen Keller's childhood home in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And then the photo was just blackness.
Thanks for that tweet.
Come on. That's fun. You can appreciate the humor in that one, Ralph.
She is a great American. And
a great blind
American. And you are a creepy dude. You don't get to mock Helen Keller.
She's blind. You don't get it. That picture is what her house would look like to her. It was a joke, son.
At least you're staying as fresh as today's headlines with your hilarious Helen Keller chunk.
Come on. I can pull out my Helen Keller truck if I'm standing in Helen Keller's living room.
I guess only one of us is at the Boll Weevil statue in Enterprise, Alabama.
Oh, you didn't do that.
A statue tweet.
Of somebody holding a giant bug in the air.
That's a pretty cool statue.
It's not a cool statue.
It's the only one in the world.
Of course,
celebrating the
Boll
Weevil.
Not gonna lie, I expected a more impressive statue in Dothan, Alabama, the peanut capital of the world. And it's you standing next like a 2-foot-tall peanut.
You have to admit, that's not much of a statue for the peanut capital of the world.
You're right. That's why I would not tweet it.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Creepy selfie bean.
By the way, Ralph, at the Boll Weevil statue in Enterprise.
Stop it.
On that corner is a radio station called Weevil 101. Ugh. And I knocked on the door when I was there. Once I took the picture of the statue, I went and knocked on the door at Weevil 101. And the owner of the place came out, 78-year-old man came out who runs the radio station.
Oh, I hope he shot you.
Invited me in. I sat there with him for an hour and a half talking
Jesus.
About his 60 years in Alabama radio. It was the highlight of my whole trip.
Oh,
dear I want to go God. Work for Weevil 101 so bad.
We want that, too, more than you could possibly know. Thanks, Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. Now I hate whitey, too. There's a picture of you in front of a sign that says, for coloreds.
Thanks for that tweet.
I saw all sorts of great Civil Rights Museum stuff in Birmingham and in Selma, by the way, and it's really sobering to see that stuff in person.
Yeah, it's so sobering. You made a hilarious Mr. Magoo picture in front of the For Colored sign there.
I was
with
just
you
saying.
Making a wacky face with your giant, freakish Where's Waldo glasses.
Just saying. When you see the history of African Americans in this country, it's understandable why a lot of people still hate whitey.
Well,
I think I'm with
you. You're
them
the
now.
Reason a lot of people still hate whitey. My superpower is the immediate need to poop 15 minutes after I've checked out of any hotel.
Ew.
Oh,
thanks for that tweet.
Omar territory now.
Anyone who's ever traveled, I know several people accused Omar of hijacking my account. So anyone who's ever traveled knows that delicate balance between, you know, being on the road and the comforts of home. Come on.
Thanks for that tweet.
You guys are with me, right?
No.
Is this thing on? Speaking of fun. How's that temperature in the valley these days, Ralph?
I wouldn't know.
I'm living inside a refrigerated meat locker these days, so I'm never outside. I have no
You're just going to come out in October or whenever they tell you the coast is clear?
I build it like well, those bomb shelters of the 50s. I have food in there and everything and fresh water, and I'm just locking myself in immediately when I get home.
Good for you. You got a pneumatic tube that shoots you right into the freezer from the K-Rock studio. You don't actually have to go outside.
Yep.
So I heard it was pushing 110. That's why I was asking.
It's nuts.
All right, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning at 7:55. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. That means it's new release day. Here's what's available. For your entertainment dollar, you can pick up the new Barbra Streisand CD, Partners, where she does duets with people both alive and dead. That's my favorite kind of duet.
What's up with that?
She does a duet with Elvis Presley, apparently, on this new CD.
Okay.
Look, if you can make a buck, why not, right?
She was on The Tonight Show last night.
Yeah, with Jimmy Fallon.
Her first appearance on a late-night talk show in over 50 years.
Yep.
How crazy is that?
It's amazing.
That's a career.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, to his credit, I think Jimmy Fallon is kind of an unfunny douchebag, but he did a duet. We did several duets with her. And that's got to take some nads right
there.
You're going to sing with Barbra Streisand.
Especially knowing what a perfectionist she is.
Yeah.
But he was doing it sort of funny. He was pretending to be Elvis. Like, he was doing voices and stuff. And everything. He did his Michael Bublé impression and things. So, but still, to be just sharing a stage with Barbra Streisand, my knees would be knocking. new Chris Brown CD, X, is available today. World on Fire by Slash, The Conspirators, and Miles Kennedy, also a new CD out today. This Is All Yours by Alt-J. On DVD, you can pick up The Fault in Our Stars, starring Shailene Woodley. Godzilla 2014 with Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Ken Watanabe and Bryan Cranston. Think Like a Man 2, Kevin Hart, Dennis Haysbert. And today is the Ghostbusters double feature gift set, which is Ghostbusters 1 and 2 and a commemorative book. All available on Blu-ray and DVD. The legendary Ghostbusters film released today just in time for the upcoming Halloween holiday. So you can pick that up as a double feature if you're so inclined. Speaking of which, Krispy Kreme is in business with Ghostbusters to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the film. Starting on September the 29th at Krispy Kreme near you through October 31st, they will have special Ghostbusters donuts.
Yummy!
The Ghostbusters donut and the Stay Puft Marshmallow donut, both filled with marshmallow cream, and they seem to be delicious. They brought some by in the other room, and Beer Mug is just stuffing his face as quickly as he can. So if anyone here is interested in a donut, you might want to get to the other room.
Are there any left?
I already had two Stay Puffs and a Slimer.
No one cares. Just keep eating until you die.
Hey.
That's all I asked for.
He really is just a vacuum cleaner when it comes to free food in the other room.
He's just a meat bag.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Amanda Pays is coming back to The Flash. You guys may not remember the original Flash superhero series with John Wesley Shipp back in the day, but Amanda Pays was one of the stars of that show. And now it's been announced she is returning to the new CW reboot of The Flash. She is going to play a geneticist on that series. This completes the cast with John Wesley Shipp also returning to The Flash. So that'll be happening on the CW this fall.
Is that good news? Do we like her, Ralph?
We love her. She's adorable. Okay. Yeah. The next James Bond movie is already getting ready to film. They're going to start on December the 6th. They will start shooting the new Bond film at the Pinewood Studios in the UK. This will be the 24th James Bond movie. Sam Mendes returns to direct. He was the one who gave us Skyfall, by the way. One of the best James Bond movies in a long, long time. And Daniel Craig, of course, reprises his role as 007, along with Ralph Fiennes as M and Naomi Harris as Moneypenny, Rory Kinnear as Bill Tanner, and Ben Whishaw as Q. And while we're talking about spies and movies, Matt Damon and director Paul Greengrass apparently in talks with Universal to do yet another Bourne film. This after they walked away from the franchise and pretty much said they had no interest in doing another one. I guess something has changed because they are talking about doing yet another adventure of Jason Bourne, and this could change, even perhaps cancel the upcoming Bourne film, which is set to star Jeremy Renner. They're going to do another one with him as well, so it remains to be seen how this will affect that, but I think there's room for two.
I do too, yeah, and they made it clear. I mean, it's
a different
like
dude.
Yeah, it's not like it breaks the formula of the thing. I mean, they made it clear that there's more than one agent who kind of goes through that. And by the way, Matt Damon is a guy who doesn't just do a sequel to do a sequel or doesn't just do a movie to make X amount of dollars. He really takes a lot of care and time with the script, so I'm sure he won't do it unless it's real good.
No, he is smart, he is professional, he is talented, he is thoughtful. He's the anti-beer mugs. What do you
think? Come on, Ralph, I'm standing right here.
Hey, get some more donuts! Today's celebrity birthdays, B.B. King is 89 years old today. Mickey Rourke turns 62. David Copperfield is 58.
I'm hot!
Jennifer Tilly's 56. Molly Shannon turns 50. Mark Anthony's 46. Amy Poehler's 43. Flo Rida, 35 years old. Alexis Bledel is 33. Nick Jonas is 22.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Oh, come on. And singer-songwriter Richard Marx celebrates his 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I've been meaning to ask you, Muggs, how's the diet going?
Well, considering that they just dropped off Krispy Kreme Ghostbusters edition donuts, not so good.
And then they forced them into his mouth.
They did make you eat them.
He was like, no, no, no. Yep. And then they made him eat like 10.
This is, what are you seriously up to? Is this number four you're eating right now?
This is, this is my fourth Stay Puffed.
And there's about 25 to 40 calories per donut at Krispy Kreme, right?
Yeah, I'll burn them off by the end of the day, though.
I mean, it's essentially like eating carrots, is what I understand.
Yeah, broccoli, carrots.
Hey, K-Rock and Beats Music have a terrific evening planned for you tomorrow night in the theater at the Ace Hotel. It's the band Coldplay performing for a tiny little crowd. You cannot buy tickets to the show. You can only win them. But the good news is K-Rock is giving them away every hour all day long from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. That means today, and that means another chance to win in less than 1 hour from right now. You can also go to KRock.com for more details and another chance to win. And the beautiful actress Hannah Simone from The New Girl, she plays Cece, don't you know, is going to be joining us 1 hour from right now as well. Here's a fascinating story, at least fascinating to me. Ralph brought it up in the Showbiz Beat yesterday, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about it because this is a story of an adult, a married heterosexual adult, coming to the realization that she was gay. And I am all for pursuing whatever your heart desires. If you're gay, be gay. If you're not gay, don't be gay. But these are unusual stories, I think, where somebody discovers it so late in life. Or am I wrong about that, Lisa? Does it take a lot of people until they're 25 or 30 years old to know their sexuality?
Well, I personally know, speaking of women specifically, I personally know three women who were married at one time and now live with women and are gay.
And you said yesterday when we had a brief conversation about it that you think that it was they fell in love with a person. It didn't matter what their sex was. It's just they wanted to be with that person.
Well, Cynthia Nixon is a great example. I just watched a HBO documentary about.
And she was from Sex and the City.
She was from Sex and the City, and she was married to a man. Mm-hmm. And in this documentary, she talked about how she was bisexual. She never considered herself to be gay, but she always considered herself to be bisexual. And after she got divorced, she met a woman, and now they're married and very happy and have kids. And that's just how she was always. So I always felt like there was a sliding scale, and some people are on the far end, like super hetero, and some people are on the opposite end. But a lot of us are in the middle, and maybe some of us are more in the middle than we realize. And so that's where I think the falling in love with a person can happen.
And I'm not surprised by hearing somebody who already self-identified as bisexual to make a choice like this. This story, and we'll talk about the details of this story now, is what surprised me because it had never crossed her mind that she would be gay.
Yeah.
And that's what the surprise is for me. And I think it'd be interesting, by the way, to hear from our Kevin and Bean listeners who have been involved in any aspect of this story. If you've had a partner who has made this change late in life, or if you have been the one who has changed your sexuality along the way, I think it'd be interesting to hear because there's so many moving parts involved in that, especially if you're married. Like, that's a tough conversation to go home, in this case, to her husband and say, hey, guess what? I want a divorce. I'm leaving you for a woman, right?
Yes, but it is interesting to hear in the story how she never really liked sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she just figured she never liked sex. What she didn't realize is she didn't really like sex with men.
Right.
And that was a revelation to her. And I bet you there's a lot of women in that boat.
Could very well be. Her name is Lauren Morelli. She is a writer for the award-winning show on Netflix called Orange is the New Black. And she said that it was writing for the show that helped her realize that she was gay. She had been married to a man for about 2 years. She says, I realized I was gay in fall of 2012, one of my first days on the set. It wasn't so much one thing, but the sum of many small things, including what you talked about, Lisa, that she thought she was not a very sexual person. But on the set of Orange is the New Black, where she helped shape the main story of Piper and her relationships, these small moments came into sharp relief. I was finally forced to consider a question that had never occurred to me before. Am I gay? The answer she discovered was a yes. Watching a love scene that she had written between Piper and Alex unfold in front of the cameras, Morelli said that she found her emotions paralleling the show. I had found a mouthpiece for my own desires, she wrote in her essay, and a glimmer of what my future could look like. According to TMZ, Morelli and her husband of 2 years have now amicably split and have jointly filed for divorce. The OITNB writer, by the way, is also reportedly dating one of the show's stars, Samira Wiley, or Wiley, I guess it is, the actress who plays Poussey on the show. By the way, Poussey is a deal.
Yeah, right?
No one, look, I can't blame anyone for falling in love with Poussey, man or woman. My God. I went through it all on set. I fell in love with a woman, and I watched my life play out on screen. This is my story, which is messy and nuanced and a constantly moving target, but one that I am grateful for. What a surprise that must have been for her, though. I mean, even if she had mixed feelings about the sex that she'd been having with men all her life, that moment where it occurred to her, hey, wait a minute, maybe I'm gay, must have really kind of felt like it turned her whole life upside down.
Oh, yeah. And I just imagine that maybe you didn't have many lesbian friends growing up, and maybe it just wasn't in your head as an option.
Right. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, because let's face it, the vast majority of people are heterosexual. The vast majority of people are raised in heterosexual households, and they encounter heterosexual social situations, and that is in their mind as being the norm and the path that they're on. And unless something like this happens, you don't necessarily think, hey, wait, I should be maybe in that other lane over there.
Right.
So let's take a couple of calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been part of any of these kinds of stories, I want to hear what it was like from the inside. And why don't we start real quick with Daniel. He'll get us going. He's on line one, and he's in Corona. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you doing, guys? Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hi there.
What's going on? What's your story?
Okay, well, I was married for 13 years with my wife for 15 years. The last 3 years, she had developed a friendship with somebody, and eventually the friendship led to a relationship that I had discovered in some bad ways.
Okay.
Now we fast forward a year later, we're divorced. We have two kids that split time between the two households, and she is living with her friend now.
Now,
in
do you do you think, or does she say that she is gay or not, or is she just bi, or is she just, hey, I just happen to love this person and want to be with this person?
No, when you said something, you said that that they were not gay or in love with women. They were in love with one person, and that's what my wife claims to be.
Yeah.
How about that? What was that like for you upon, I mean, obviously anytime you find out your partner's cheating on you, that's rough. But when you guys settled down and started having the conversation about what was going on, what was that like for you?
To be honest with you, if you find out somebody's cheating on you and it's with a woman, I don't have the parts to compete with that, so it makes it a whole lot easier.
Mm. It did.
Yeah.
Were you doubting yourself? Like, where was my gaydar? Why didn't I see this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you got, if you knew my wife, you'd know that it would be the furthest thing that you would ever expect from her either, man. She was as straight as an arrow. And
right.
Gotcha,
yeah. If you don't mind me asking, what was your sex life like in those last couple of years before her revelation?
It was fantastic.
How about that?
But, you know, yeah. There's a thing about, and men don't experience the same closeness, I don't think, that women can experience with a really good girlfriend, where you, I don't know, you have a connection that you don't even have with your spouse, because there's, you know, with any spouse, there's friction and stuff. And so you go to your girlfriend to talk about all that stuff, and you could get very close. You can see where that line starts to get blurred.
Right, right. And you automatically have things in common with other women that you'll never have in common with men because of your shared upraising and experiences.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Daniel. So are you guys friendly now besides, you know, keeping it together for the kids? Are you guys do you get along okay now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We spend the holidays together and
well, that's awesome.
Do little trips together, to, you know, for the kids. But
well, it sounds like everybody handled that in a mature way. I'm happy to hear that. Daniel, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. We'll take a quick break. Got all the lines are lighted up, by the way, from people who have on every angle of this experience. So we want to talk to you next. Please hang on. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Can't wait for that HBO show about the making of the new Foo Fighters album debuting next month. It's going to be awesome. Trailer's already out for that. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday, talking about the writer for Orange is the New Black, who realized after she was already married to a man, hey, wait a minute, I'm really enjoying writing this lesbian TV show. Maybe I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out she was, and now she's dating one of the actresses on the show. You know, Beer Mug, you brought up off air that Anne Heche went through a similar thing, the actress Anne Heche.
Yeah.
As did Meredith Baxter, some of our listeners remind us, too. Another actress who very late in life decided that she was gay. So we're taking your calls if you've been through this experience at 1-800-520-1067. You thought you were heterosexual your whole life, and maybe you were, but then at some point you said, hey, wait a minute, I'm gay. How complicated is that? How difficult a transition is that for you and the people around you? Let's start with Tim. He's in Riverside. He's on line 5. Tim's been through it.
Kevin,
hey, Tim, welcome
morning.
To Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Hi, Tim.
I'm well, thank you. How are you guys? Lisa May, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
So what happened?
So, I got married at 19. I married my high school sweetheart. We had been together since I was 14. And two kids later, at 23, I fell in love with a guy. And I think it was right then and there that I knew, oh, this is what it was supposed to be like. You know, like, I loved her. She was my best friend. And we had a great relationship. But it wasn't until I fell in love with a guy that I realized, oh, this is what she's been feeling for me this whole time.
Oh,
so
wow.
Help me understand that. When you're growing up, like most of us are, we get to be 13, 14, really starting to get in touch with our sexuality, start to notice other people at school and whatnot. You never had those kinds of feelings for boys back then? It was always for girls?
You know, I grew up listening to Loveline, so I grew up hearing, well, it's perfectly natural, and a lot of guys outgrow it, you know, and this is the message I was getting back then. And I don't think it's, you know, the way it is now, it's a lot more accepted, whereas when I was in high school, it was completely unacceptable. So I thought, well, maybe this is just something, you know, I obviously love her, so I can't be 100% gay, so maybe I'm just going to grow out of this.
Right. And at the time, you thought, like you said, it was a little bit of a different time. It would have been much more difficult, awkward, uncomfortable, painful, hurtful to some people for you to be gay.
Absolutely. But, you know, it was when I finally hit that point, I realized I couldn't keep living a lie. And I'll tell you, now that I'm 38, I see this happening all the time. And the ability for people to deceive themselves based on what society tells them, especially with gentlemen my age and older, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How was the sex with a woman for you? Did you think at the time, hey, this is everything sex is and it's great? Or did you even then feel kind of unsatisfied?
I am a firm believer that sex is on a scale. I mean, I don't know if anyone is exactly 100% one way or 100% another. I can tell you the physical sensation of sex is pleasurable, you know, no matter what the sex is of the person you're having it with. But there's just something where you're having it with the person or the gender that is most comfortable to you at that point. Then, or for me anyway, at that point I realized, oh, this is what I've been missing.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'm glad it all worked out for you then, Tim. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. All right. Okay. I just got to assume that he said, you too, guys. Let's take Debbie real quick. She's in Riverside. She's on line 6. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're good.
You've been hearing some of the other people's stories on this issue. Tell me what happened to you.
Yeah, well, it must be in the water in Riverside, though I wasn't born and raised in Riverside. But I was 44, married actually to an East Indian man, and was married for 16 years, two kids.
Wow. Wow.
26 and 23, and fell head over heels romantically, a physical attraction like I had never experienced, never in my life. the word lesbian never even entered my vocabulary or my own persona. Fell in love and were together for about 3 years. Broke up. Now I'm married to another woman, and we've been together for 11 years, and my ex just brought his partner over from India and is married to a man.
You're kidding.
There has to be a sitcom somewhere in your life, Debbie. Seriously, get to Hollywood right now.
So what's your theory, Debbie?
I swear to you, my life could be an HBO special and I would no longer be working in the job that I'm working in, but I don't know what it is. I think it's as far as women, I think, and the community may disagree with me, but I think women have more of an emotional attachment, and it's a whole emotional experience, whereas males, at least for my ex-husband, I think it's more physical, mm-hmm. and a physical attraction, and actually the man that he's married to is about 25 years younger than he is, and a year...
Well done, sir. Well done. All right, let me ask you this then, Debbie. If you hadn't met that woman that changed your life so radically that you fell in love with, do you think you might still consider yourself heterosexual and married to your husband?
Still be married, and he'd be off having his, you know, whatever's with whoever.
Right, right.
Would have been married because I never identified with the gay community. And now, like I say, my kids are fine with it. We actually celebrate holidays together. So, you know, it's mom and dad and dad.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, the human heart is complicated. That's for sure. That's one thing we've learned. Debbie, appreciate your call. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Nope.
Didn't need a hay there.
I liked it.
Arctic Monkeys on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. The beautiful actress Hannah Simone from The New Girl, returning tonight on Fox, joins us just after 9 o'clock. Very excited about that. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. But first, I bet Apple and U2 are both surprised that they got together to do this promotion to distribute the brand new Songs of Innocence U2 album, and that anybody could complain about getting free music.
I'm surprised.
Doesn't it just seem like free music is what we're all about? We all want to hear everything all the time, always for free. I mean, that's just the world we live in 2014, and it seems like U2 is savvy enough to realize that. Hey, let's just go ahead and make it easy for people to get it so that they can hear our new music. U2 doesn't need the money from whatever paltry number of albums they would sell. They just want to promote a new tour, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they couldn't have made it easier.
They could have made it easier. It automatically showed up on your phone, right? So Apple is looking at it going, same deal. Hey, U2, one of the biggest bands of the world. It's a win-win for everybody. It's a great opportunity for us to, you know, to get some eyes on our iPhone 6 announcement. We get a chance to maybe get some more people sign up for iTunes because they want the free album. That expands our platform. It's a win-win. Well, you would have thought that those companies came in and just burned the farm down compared to the outrage on Twitter over this free U2 album. Here's an example of some of the tweets that were sent at Apple this week from Greg Howard 88. I don't know why Apple would just throw this U2 album on my phone like I haven't spent the last 10 years perfectly curating my iTunes library. Kyle Pavone writes, "Hey iTunes, thanks but no thanks for the free U2 record. Quickest delete ever." At OW, "Hi, Tim Cook." He's the chairman of Apple. "My iPhone has a virus called U2. How do I uninstall it?" So Apple has taken these complaints seriously, and they actually now are starting to publicize how to get the album off of your phone. There's a page at Apple.com. Here's the title. "Remove iTunes gift album Songs of Innocence from your iTunes music library and purchase it." For people who are just, their phones are burning up because they have 11 U2 songs and all of a sudden that they didn't want it. It's hilarious to me. Now we find out they've even got a phone line that if you don't want to do it online, they actually have a phone line that you can call and remove the U2 album. So I thought this might be interesting to hear hear how it works.
Yeah, definitely.
Because some people are complaining that it's not as easy as you think. Like it's not just a one button delete. You've got to do two or three different things, and that's why they had to put up this page on the website so that people would know how to do it. But how complicated can it be? All right, let's dial it up, Muggs. You have that 800 number?
Yeah.
Let's call it up. Call up Apple and find out. U2, Songs of Innocence on my phone. How do I get rid of it? They say that this should only take a minute, so might be useful.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Apple iTunes support line.
Oh, playing you two on the Hulk music already, too. How about that?
If you'd like to thank us for the very generous gift of giving you Songs of Innocence by U2 on your iTunes music, press 1 now.
Well, we're not really calling to thank
If you'd like to remove the album from U2, Songs of Innocence, press 2 now.
Yes, let's press 2, Muggs.
Really? Okay. If you're a new iTunes subscriber, press 1 now. If you're a longtime iTunes subscriber, press 2 now. If you're one of those Osbournes, press 3 now.
Yeah, well, the Osbournes are very publicly hating on this U2 album. Let's just press 2, though. That's more my speed, long-term iTunes user.
You know this is free, right? You have to listen to it.
Well, I know
it's
that.
A free gift from Apple iTunes, from us to you. It's a thank you, a gift. If you're the kind of person that likes gifts, press 1 now. If you're the kind of douchebag who likes to pay full price for everything and never accept anything for free, press 2 now.
Well, now I don't know what to do because I do like gifts, but I'm trying to play the part of a guy who wants to get rid of this album. So I guess let's press 2 and see what happens.
All right. You know Bono gives a lot of money to charity, right?
Yeah, we know that.
We paid him a lot of money for this album, and a lot of that money's going to charity, mostly to stop starving children. If you're in favor of starving children, press 1 now.
Oh, no.
If you're
against starving children, press 2 now.
This is a tight spot to be in. I just want to remove the album. Let's press 2, I guess, on this one.
And it's been all over you. Right, you're against starving children, right?
I don't want to argue with a computer.
You want to have clean drinking water? But no, you don't want this U2 album because you're better than U2. You're better than Bono in some way. So you can't stand 11 extra songs on your iTunes library because it's so precious that every song is hand-selected by you and paid for by you. God forbid you get 3 or 4 or 5 or 11 free songs from us for nothing. We charge you nothing for it.
I don't want to argue with a
recording. Want to remove the album. Press 1 now.
Yes, press 1. Remove the album.
All right, go to iTunes, click Remove Album, then you'll get rid of the album. What are you, an idiot?
Would you be more comfortable if you did the interview rather than leave it to me with Hannah Simone coming up next, Ralph?
Well, there is that creepy.
Or are you in the same
factor.
Boat I am, which is it's nearly impossible to speak with her because she's so pretty.
Oh, no, I'd be perfectly capable of speaking with her, and my fear is that your creepiness may be unavoidable.
Nothing creepy going on today.
Mm.
Very respectful.
You never know,
Bean. You're saying I'm a poor judge?
Yes. Yeah.
You have, like, creepy Tourette's. You may not know it's coming, and then next thing you know, good, you're pretty.
But I think this is Hannah's maybe third time on the Kevin and Bean show, and it's always gone great. So I think she's so professional that she'll keep it in check.
I think she is very forgiving.
Yes.
We know that much about her.
The fact that she keeps coming back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The New Girl returns on Fox tonight. We'll talk to the beautiful Hannah Simone coming up next, who's so funny on that show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Well, we were talking about Bean's a horrible vacation to Alabama earlier in the show today. And he plans his vacations around weird things.
Yes.
Like, you know, trips to see the world's largest boll weevil statue and things like that.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating story out of Star Magazine. I had no idea, but people now are planning their vacations around seeing celebrities.
Really?
What?
I don't even know how you do that.
They try to find locations where their favorite celebrities either party or hang out or live, and then they will plan vacations around that, trying to see that celebrity.
Oh my God!
I guess
that would
be called stalking. I guess in a lot of places.
So wait, like let's just say you're a crazy Hunger Games fan. You find out where they're filming the movie and what hotel they're staying at, and you go plan your vacation
exactly.
by staying there. You mean
exactly? Yes.
Oh.
Apparently, there were some people who caught wind that Sofia Vergara and Joe Manganiello, I can
yes.
never say his last name, were vacationing in Cabo San Lucas. And they said they went down to Cabo San Lucas to party down there and hopefully run into them.
Which they didn't.
They talked to another person who, you know, apparently they didn't, who was a big Cuba Gooding Jr. fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be easier.
Planned their vacation to Malibu, staying near the Malibu beach where he had been seen running and working out and stuff, and they'd try to catch a glimpse and run into him.
Well, he works at a lemonade stand right there.
How dare you?
You can find him pretty much
He's
most mornings.
Very busy. But people planning their vacation around celebrities.
That's weird.
That is odd.
That's very odd. I mean, there's a lot of vacations I enjoy, but I would never plan my vacation around them.
No.
No.
Bean, I'm sure, would. Look, no, he goes to see dead celebrities. I'm sure he would happily see live celebrities. No, that's true. Bean would not be interested in live celebrities.
No, he only likes the dead
ones. He only likes the graveyards. Maybe we should do a call-in topic of weirdest reason you went on a vacation to someplace.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
Bean would win in every case, but... You can add Scott Glenn to the cast of the upcoming Daredevil series on Netflix. This thing just gets better
He's
and better.
Great.
He is great, and this series looks awesome. We've already got Vincent D'Onofrio playing the bad guy in it. Charlie Cox will play Matt Murdock, who, of course, becomes the Daredevil. And Scott Glenn will be in the origin story of Daredevil. He will play the martial arts mentor who teaches Matt Murdock, who, of course, is blind but has heightened senses because he was dosed with radioactive waste.
Something. Radioactive something.
How to be a martial artist, and that's how he becomes Daredevil. So that's good news.
That's impressive radioactive waste, by the way, if that's the side effect.
You don't know, man.
I don't know. I really don't.
Have you been doused with radioactive waste?
I never have.
Well, that's...
But I doubt that I would be doused and then wake up and be a martial arts star. It just seems unlikely.
Well, you have to train, but your heightened senses would help you.
But look, why wouldn't it just, like, burn you or something?
Well, it does. It blinds him.
Okay.
It blinds Matt Murdock, but he also
So it's not
gains,
all positive.
No, it's not all positive. But he gains super sensitive hearing and touch.
All right. His other senses—that sounds realistic.
His other senses are multiplied.
Open up a blog.
Yeah.
Look, who knows more about science, you or Stan Lee? Okay?
That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
Today's celebrity birthdays: guitarist B.B. King is 89 years old today. Actor Mickey Rourke turns 62. David Copperfield is 58.
Jennifer—he
is hot. He's been hot for some time. Jennifer Tilly is 56. Singer-songwriter Richard Marx is 51. I'm not ashamed any longer to admit I was a huge Richard Marx fan back in the day.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were back in his popular years, the late 80s, early 90s.
Best-selling albums, right? With a couple
of
them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit after hit after hit.
How can you love it? It's crap. It's great.
I think it's okay maybe to let that go now, though.
No, I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to the night. Hold on to the night.
That's real talk right there, man.
Hold on to the memory. Hold on to
I think
memory.
We get the idea.
No! No! No!
Happy birthday, Rich. Molly Shannon's 50 years old. Mark Anthony's 46. Amy Poehler, 43 years old today. Flo Rida, 35 years old. Alexis Bledel is 33. And Nick Jonas turns 22.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Remember when you asked if I should stop playing the Nick Jonas drops?
I thought you said no, Rob. I thought you said yes.
And I said, no, keep playing them. It's fine. It's fine, I said.
We need to work on our communication, Rob.
I only want to communicate with you in the afterworld.
Dare you.
The only communication I do with you is through a medium at a seance.
Ouija board?
When I'm holding hands with other people, trying to summon your spirit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Sean Super from Covina. Does anyone believe his name is really Sean Super?
I'm sure he changed his name for that.
That is not real.
Have you ever heard of somebody's last name being Super?
No.
Hi, Hannah Simone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Sean just won tickets to tomorrow night at the theater at the Ace Hotel to see the band Coldplay. You can't buy these tickets, but you can win them every hour. We've got them for you again at 10, 11, 12, all the way up until 6 o'clock this afternoon. You ever seen Coldplay?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl.
They're super good, right?
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, so
mind you, could be the worst band of all time, and you play at the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to make you look good.
Kind of magical, true. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, tickets every hour. You can win your way in. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Hannah's here because she's on a little show called The New Girl. Hit it, Steve.
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
It's Jenna.
It's Cece is who it is.
Yeah.
Show returns for season number 4 tonight at 9 on Fox. How have you been, my dear?
I've been great. Yeah, I've had a really fun summer, which is nice. And now we're back. We're shooting our 7th episode of the 4th season as
so
we speak.
When did you go back to work?
Like August? Yeah, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get the impression, because you're a celebrity jet setter, I get the impression from your Twitter feed that you're everywhere doing all the things always, like you're at the U.S. Open, you're at Fashion Week.
Yeah, I've had a fun summer for sure. I went to India with Free the Children, and helped build a school in tribal areas of Rajasthan. That was pretty cool. And then I went to Bhutan and got on a motorcycle and ran around the country. That was pretty awesome.
This is incredible, first of all. I mean, these are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, and you're doing a lot of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Are you from India?
I'm half Indian.
Did you ever live there, though?
Yes, I did live there, and I went to high school for a year.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So it's easy for you to go to India. I feel like as an American tourist, because I've always wanted to go to India, I've always been fascinated with India, but I'm just waiting till I get the time to really like commit to it. Because you can't go to a country like India for a week. You just can't. There's so much to see. But it looks to me like it would be a difficult place to travel to and get around in, no?
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those places where either you love it so much the moment you get off the plane or you hate it. It's impossible to be indifferent to India. If you ask them, like, how was your trip to India? And they're like, meh. Full on sociopath. Walk away. Something is really wrong with them. I love it.
It's like one of those countries for you that you miss if you're not there for a while, right?
Absolutely.
There's something that you can only get in India.
Yeah, and it's kind of great because as you look around, you will always see things on a second-by-second basis that you've never seen before, which is kind of great. You're like, oh, there's a motorcycle with 5 people on it and a goat. How do they do that?
How do they do that indeed? Why are there so many people in India, Hannah?
We love making love.
You sure do. I mean, that's one of those billion people countries, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. This charity that you go with, this is somebody you work with a lot?
Free the Children is a great Canadian charity, so I knew about them when I lived in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I did some stuff for them for their Wee Days that they did in California and up in Washington State earlier when the season wrapped for New Girl. And then they had told me that they had just started doing trips to a site in India. And I was like, I want to go.
And so are you like Jimmy Carter on the ground, hammer in hand with Habitat for Humanity, literally building a school?
Literally building a school. Yeah.
How did that go?
Great. It was it was really funny. I guess I have this thing where I can't sweat. It's like a condition.
You don't sweat?
I don't sweat. I don't know what it is. So it was probably 115 degrees. We're outside building the school, and I'm like, building. All the dudes around me are like soaked through their clothes, cursing the gods. And I'm like, what's going on, man? Like, this is great. Let's go get some hot tea. They're like,
you're a freak.
Yeah, they're like, you're insane.
Oh, my That's God. Weird. That's the best, though.
It is
and
the best.
And there's no downside? Like, you're not going to explode or something if you get too hot?
Not yet.
like today, it's as hot as it gets in Southern California. Yeah. Will you sweat today?
Okay, tell them what I'm wearing
right
now.
She's wearing quite a thick sweater,
a
actually.
A full, like, long, wool sweater.
That's unbelievable. is New Girl on in India? Do people know who you are?
Yes, the show is on in India. That was what was kind of crazy. I thought, I'm going to go there and build the school and hang out and no one will know. Oh, no. People
really?
Knew. Yeah, and because I'm, Indian and on the show and then I was back there and... got to talk to a lot of people. Yeah, it was really great. It was a really cool thing. Mm-hmm.
That's so when you watch the show, do they air it in English or is there some voice actor who dubs over CC's lines?
I think in India it's in English, but in other countries I know they have voice actors because people will write to me and they'll be like, I'm your German voice. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
Super weird. I wish there was an Indian voice though because that would be... I would want to do it myself, even though I don't speak Hindi. I would learn Hindi just so I could have Cece talk like this to Schmidt and really just give it to him when he's being annoying. That would be great.
That must be one of the strangest. Look, we all know how hard it is to get on a successful show anyway. I mean, 98% of Hollywood is trying to get on something that anybody ever even sees. So the fact that you're on a show in America that's a hit is one thing. But once it gets to this point where it's on in all of these countries around the world, it must blow your mind a little bit to think that there are kids in Russia and people in France and Australia and everything that are all watching The New Girl.
Yeah, it is crazy. Friends of mine who travel a lot will always send me videos of, like, I'm stuck in the hotel. In Russia, actually, I did get one, and they'll just take a little video. And sure enough, the thing that's always on, apparently, is our show with these Russian voice actors. it's It's wild.
I wonder if they edit some of the sexy time stuff that goes on The New Girl in some of those other countries. Like, it's, I wonder if what we allow on primetime in America is too spicy for some of these other countries.
That means, like, all of season one, every episode is only, like, 90 seconds. They're like, yeah, that's it.
Well, I mean, for instance, The New Girl airs tonight at 9 on Fox. I was lucky enough to see this episode already, and there's a lot of talk about friend fisting. And it's not in the way, it's not at all in the way that you're thinking it is right now. It's very innocent. But, I mean, even that alone would be uncomfortable for some people in some uptight countries, I would think.
But here's how does it translate in other countries? It's got to be, it can't be exactly the same.
Yeah, that would be curious. Now I want to see how they've dubbed the pilot in other languages to see what they've called.
Well, welcome back. Glad you survived your international adventures.
Thank you.
To see you again. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk some more about The New Girl with our guest, Hannah Simone, right after this on the World Famous Kira. Hannah, let's take you back to your VJ days. You want to come out of the song for us?
That was a great song by a great band. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
She's back. She hasn't lost a step, ladies and gentlemen. The lovely Hannah Simone in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, one of the stars of New Girl. She plays Cece, don't you know? Show returns tonight at 9 on Fox. So yours isn't the kind of show that we need to keep the plot line in mind. But if I recall, at the end of last season, Cece had a quite younger boyfriend from Australia that she seemed to be quite enamored of.
Mm-hmm. Busta. Isn't that just a great name anyway?
Buster.
Buster. Only believable because he's Australian. For some reason, the rules just don't apply when we think about Australia. And then coming back this season, she's Busterless. So, and Schmidt finds that out in the first episode.
Well, that's gonna mess with his head. He'll never get over you, that's for sure. Reed Scott from Veep, who we love so much.
Ugh, he's the best. He's so funny.
Guest stars tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Your show is great at bringing in guest stars. I mean, a lot of times they're kind of just distracting, you know what I mean? Or they're
like
stunt casting or something like that. I don't know. I mean, except for Prince, I think in the most part you've kind of avoided that.
I think they've done such a good job and it gets us so excited. I'll never forget when they announced who Zoe's parents were going to be.
Yes.
And they were like, it's going to be Rob Reiner and Jamie Lee Curtis. I was like, I need to lie down for like days. It was crazy. And still to this day, we've already shot an episode with Rob. He's come back. And he just sits. We always end up doing these table scenes with him, like Thanksgiving or whatever.
Right.
They take the longest to shoot because you've got to get every single angle of how everybody's looking at the table. A whole day goes to it. And it's the best. Because he'll sit there and just tell us the greatest stories from his experiences in this industry. And it's just like the ultimate story time.
I imagine so. I mean, you got to take advantage of – if you've got Rob Reiner who's kind of forced to sit next to you for 10 hours, you've got to ask him about Spinal Tap, right?
Right. I know.
Or
Princess Bride.
Or Feel Good Man or whatever. Princess Bride, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really – those days take longer because the crew, all of us, were just – we become like six-year-olds. We'd be like, and then what happened? Oh, my God.
Everyone stops working.
Yeah, you just can't. You're not going to cut off the story? Are you out of your mind? It's a master class.
Did you stay friends with Taylor Swift after she did the show?
I don't know if we ever were friends, but we loved having her on the show. That was great. She was really funny, and she improvised, and, you know, she could poke fun at herself. Mm-hmm. That was really great. She was a great guest star on the show.
I don't get all the anti-Taylor Swift that's out there. I don't get it.
Is there a lot of anti-Taylor Swift?
Well, I think whenever somebody gets red hot, there's that reaction that goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why so many people are so down on her. I mean, she seems to me like such a strong, talented woman who kind of does her own thing and doesn't really bother anybody. But
I feel like people just like things to talk about.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? It's just like high school on a massive level.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and you being specifically, being Bean and loving her so much.
I think that's what it is. I think I have turned some people against her because I love her so much.
Yeah, I think that's partly
so it's your
problem.
Fault. That's what we're figuring out. Right.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. I'm glad you're here. We're excited that the show is back. I know you say you've already filmed 7 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are you excited about that we haven't seen yet?
Oh, my. Well, that episode actually with Rob Reiner reintroduces his new girlfriend, played by Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh.
That was fun. That's it's a really fun Jess Cece episode.
Do we get to see Winston be a cop?
No, not yet, but he's in his training. So we haven't, he hasn't officially become the cop yet, but we do have a great episode, one of my favorite ones that we've shot, where everybody realizes, like, in a few weeks, we're going to be living with a cop. So we have a very small window to do all the illegal stuff that we need to do. That is super funny. That was
That's
so great
hilarious.
To shoot. Uh-huh, that was really great.
When Jake and Damon's movie came out, Let's Be Cops, which turned into quite a nice size hit, by the way, are they now giving you attitude on set because they're big, they're big-time movie stars and you're just TV actors?
I mean, they just give us attitude all day long. Nothing has changed at all. But that was kind of funny because that was the week that the movie premiered. We were shooting that episode where they're now surrounded by cops doing illegal things. Yeah, a lot of cop talk on our show now.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, New Girl returns tonight at 9 on Fox Channel 11. Can't wait to see Cece back on the small screen. Hannah Simone, you're delightful as always. Thanks so much for coming in.
Aw, thanks.
Everybody here at K-Rock loves the Muff. Mm-hmm. And we were all down at the art gallery for Dennis Morris. That's He's a photographer who shot the Sex Pistols. Did all these amazing pictures of the Sex Pistols. And it's at the Known Gallery on Fairfax, and it's there now until August 23rd.
Okay.
And, August 23rd, Billy Idol was there. Kevin was there from Prima Donna.
Okay. Thank
some members of Lords of the New Church.
Thank you, Randy.
And we all were honoring Dennis Morris, who's the photographer. And it was for the Sex Pistols.
You said that, actually.
These amazing, great big photos
right.
of the Sex Pistols on magnetic
it's like a book. We got it.
Paper. Pretty amazing.
Magnetic paper?
It's still going on next to Canner's.
Paper sticks to
you
metal?
Check it out. And then, of course, you did hear the Sex Pistols doing Pretty Vacant.
Pictures of the Sex Pistols.
And then, of course, you heard the amazing Snakeheads.
Oh, the Snakeheads.
And here it comes
Snakeheads.
Again. Anyway, listening to Rodney, and I'll be back right after this.
Actually, Rodney, we're out of time for you, but Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I hope he's back right after we're done here.
I don't hope so. I hope that girl is on.
Speaking of Rodney, here's a thing he'd probably be interested in, and I thought it was pretty interesting because they are a big L.A. band. The Doors, of course, one of the most famous Los Angeles bands out of the music scene. In the 60s in the Sunset Strip. Years ago, the band put up money for a documentary about the band's tour in 1968 called Feast of Friends. It has never been seen before. Captured all kinds of cool backstage stuff. You've seen bits and pieces of the movie, but now for the first time, the whole thing will be released finally on November the 11th on DVD and Blu-ray.
Sounds great!
That, I think, is going to be fascinating. It's like it's been in a time capsule all these years, and you get to see what that band was like during the heat of the height of their popularity in 1968.
How expensive is that?
I don't think it's going to be very expensive at all. It's just the cost of an average DVD or Blu-ray.
How bad is that going to be?
I don't think it's going to be bad at all. I think it's going to be very entertaining.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
You've seen pictures of the Doors. Ray Manzarek, Jim Morrison. Go online.
Sounds great.
She's a delight.
Hey, Matt Damon's coming back to play Bourne.
What?
Maybe. He and director Paul Greengrass are in talks with Universal to do yet another Bourne film in the series after Bourne Supremacy and Bourne Ultimatum. Another Bourne film for Matt Damon.
All right.
Which may or may not cause problems for the already announced Bourne film set to star Jeremy Renner. He also has his own franchise of Bourne going. So how many Bournes do we need? I'll take them. I'll take them all.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
No, it's not. those gentlemen will be fine in their separate film franchises. The VH1 has ordered another season of Dating Naked. This is the reality show where a man and a woman each date two different and naked suitors, and at the end of the episode, they need to decide whether they will have potential love matches or to move on. Naked.
Well, you must be really happy.
I am really happy because the last time they had the show on, we saw that one girl on the beach and she it was like a gynecological exam. I don't know how it happened, but we were able to see her tonsils.
You better not fall asleep.
I wouldn't. Not looking at that. Cat's mom. And do we really need a reboot of National Lampoon Vacation?
Do I get one?
No. This is, of course, a reboot of the popular
film franchise starring Chevy Chase.
Now, I miss Chevy Chase as an actor, by the way.
I do, too. Well, he will be appearing, apparently, in this new film. He and Beverly D'Angelo, who famously played his wife in that franchise, they will return. And it will be Ed Helms will star as a grown-up Rusty Griswold, son of Chevy and Beverly D'Angelo's character. And Christina Applegate as his wife. And they are taking their own family on vacation. And as you can imagine, chaos ensues.
Put your seatbelt on.
Yes, when you take a vacation, you should always put your seatbelt on. She's the best. Lindsay Lohan causing troubles with the Los Angeles coroner's office. They aren't happy that she claims she had to take care of Whitney Houston's body bag while she was doing her probation there. An official tells TMZ.com that no one from the probation program came in contact with Whitney Houston when she was there at the LA coroner's office. And some speculate that the timetable doesn't even work out, that Lindsay wasn't even there in the office at the time of Whitney's death.
Does she just hallucinate these things?
I think maybe she talks herself into believing what she says so much that she starts to take it as reality.
I think
reality.
So. And I bet they must have a protocol in place at the L.A. coroner's office because they have, you know, they handle a lot of famous people.
Yes.
That they make sure that it's not just open season, that anybody who works in the building can go down and get a selfie with the corpse, you know?
Right, yes. It is new release day this Tuesday. Here's what's available. World on Fire is a new CD by Slash, The Conspirators, and Miles Kennedy. You can pick that up. X by Chris Brown. This Is All Yours by Alt-J, also available today. And Barbara Streisand has a new CD of duets called Partners. On DVD, The Fault and Our Stars. Shailene Woodley stars in that film. Godzilla with Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Ken Watanabe, and Bryan Cranston. Think Like a Man 2 with Kevin Hart. The Ghostbusters double feature gift set. Both Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 and a commemorative book on DVD and on Blu-ray. TV shows on DVD. Arrow Season 2 is available. Big Bang Season 3, Big Bang Theory, rather, Season 3. Grimm Season... Sorry, let me try that again. Big Bang Theory Season 7 and Grimm Season 3. Hannibal Season 2, Castle Season 6, Bones Season 9, and Sleepy Hollow Season 1 are all available. Was it you and I, Beam, talking about who buys gifts?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering
what
the market is anymore. When most people stream their shows, who's going to go out and buy a DVD box set?
I wonder if it's for completists who have libraries of stuff at home and they just want to have everything available.
And like you said, there are some movies and some TV shows that you are a big enough fan that you will delve into the extras, and that's something that's not available on streaming if you want to get the alternate scenes or director's cut or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like when the Batman series comes out on Blu-ray later this year, I will buy that, the entire series on Blu-ray.
Because you're going to put it on a loop in every room in your house and it'll never stop showing.
That, and also because of the bonuses that they have featured in that, of which I happen to be in a couple of. Just want to give you a
heads. Wow, how about that?
How about that indeed? Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist B.B. King's 89 years old today. Actor Mickey Rourke is 62. David Copperfield turns 58. Jennifer Tilly is 56. Richard Marx, singer and songwriter, is 51. Molly Shannon is 50. Mark Anthony is 46. Amy Poehler turns 43. Flo Rida is 35 years old today. Alexis Bledel celebrates her 33rd birthday. And Nick Jonas is 22.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
He sure is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bobby Slayton, you guys, the pit bull of comedy.
That's
makes
right.
His
that's right. The pit bull of comedy. That's
triumphant
I
return to the Kevin Abbey show.
Shut up, Ellie Mae. What are you laughing at?
Huh, I wonder if Bobby will have anything on his mind. Or
let me tell you something, let me tell you about my wife.
Also, Kevin Smith, I think is his name.
Not
up and coming young filmmaker who made a movie about a walrus. It's called Tusk. He'll be joining us in studio tomorrow.
Walruses.
Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. It's Wednesday. That means This Week in Rage. And our old friend, motocross legend Travis Pastrana, will be here as well. All of that and your final chances to get your way into the Coldplay show. That's going to be tomorrow night at the Ace Hotel. Get all the details at KROQ.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.